Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now simulcasting the last 2 hours of this four-hour weekday radio shows at PrisonPlanet.tv for all the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I want to thank you for joining us and all of your support. I had checked into this book and seen really great reviews from a lot of researchers and historians that I respect. Haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's Russ Baker, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put in the White House and What Their Influence Means for America. And separately in my own research, you have Prescott Bush, tied up in the military-industrial complex, the main Nazi agent in the United States, with the large banking combine here. And then you have him bringing Nixon in as a senator, setting him up. And then from the information that many other historians have brought out, like Tarpley, who, again, is not a, quote, right-winger, he called himself a progressive, the research that Nixon got out of control, and so they shot him down. Not saying Nixon's a good guy. The point is that was all a huge setup and also to weaken the presidency at that time so the national security state could fully take over the executive, and that's what we really face today. So just an amazing book, and it is, of course, Family of Secrets. Russ Baker, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Alex.
It's good to have you here. Okay, we're going to break in a few minutes. This is a short segment, but tell us about yourself, your research. You told me that researching for this book kind of changed your whole political paradigm, gets into a lot of the shadow workings of things, and C-SPAN just covered it for Book TV that will be airing soon, or was it live?
It'll be airing soon.
Yeah, I've been on C-SPAN too, and wait a few weeks to air it. So Family of Secrets, critically acclaimed. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. Well, I've been an investigative journalist for about 20 years. I would describe myself either as an alternative journalist working in the mainstream or a mainstream journalist working in the alternative media. And I've worked, written for publications varying from the New York Times, Vanity Fair, Esquire, to The Nation and The Village Voice, Huffington Post, a large range of different sorts of publications. I am a reporter, and I think that there are different books on these subjects. Some people consider themselves scholars. Some people consider themselves activists. I'm essentially a reporter, and I just follow the facts wherever they go. I began working on this book about 5 years ago simply with the question, how did a guy like George W. Bush become the most powerful person in the world? I just found that to be a staggering proposition in and of itself, and I just wondered if there was not more to the story than we understood there to be. And so I began looking into him, and this led me to start examining his relationship to the people who backed him, his relationship to his father. I really went down the rabbit's hole, Alex. I discovered a whole new understanding of American history of the last 50 years, and that's really what I hope we have a chance to talk about.
Yeah, Woodward and Bernstein with Naval Intelligence and the Bilderberg Group control Washington Post, they daringly went after Nixon. America learned how to fight back against corruption, and then meanwhile, the shadow government really just got even more power and expanded their control. So I want to break this down after we come back from break, but continue in the time we've got left in this segment describing the book.
Sure. Actually, what happened was I'd been sent over, believe it or not, by the U.S. government to the former Yugoslavia, where I was asked to train journalists there in how to question authority and keep their government honest. And while I was working there, we had the run-up to the war in Iraq, the invasion. And people began asking me, what about your own government? How much do you understand about your own government, your own president, the decisions they make there? You're teaching us to do this work here. What about your own country? And as I traveled around Europe, I just was staggered by the extent to which the popularity of the United States had just plummeted. And I just felt I had to get back and get trying to answer these questions.
Now, keep going.
Came back in 2004 and began traveling around the country. I came to Austin here. It was one of the places I came to. And I began just assembling groups of people for drinks and just said, hey, what do you think is behind this Bush thing? Is there nothing more than a guy this seemingly untalented and this uninterested that he could just get to the top? Or was there something else going on, all that heavy money?
We're going to tell that story that you compellingly document in Family of Secrets.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Russ Baker, Family of Secrets. We've only got about 30 minutes left with him. Then we've got a guest coming on about mass graves they're building all over the country. We've got photos of it. And then we got Webster Tarpley joining us from D.C. Russ Baker lives in New York. It's great to have him here on such short notice. We found he was in town and got him in. He was here for C-SPAN. Next time you're here, please come in for a couple hours because, I mean, the book is lengthy and the research is amazing. Go ahead and just run through it.
Sure. So basically what happened was when I got back in 2004, began traveling around the country just asking open-ended questions. It might be what you'd call a real authentic intellectual inquiry. I had no agenda. I didn't know what kind of answers I was going to find. And that's the way I try to do all of my journalism. So one thing that I started looking at was George W. Bush's National Guard service. And I was intrigued by this because it appeared that there were some questions about his record, and yet somehow they were so effective as a propaganda device, his administration, his team, that they were intimidating the media. They were turning this against John Kerry, who had served in Vietnam. And I was fascinated by that. So I began looking at that. Out of that came a piece I did for The Nation magazine, which won a Deadline Club Award, establishing pretty conclusively that Bush had not finished, that he had gone AWOL, skipped the last 2 years of his military service, and that this had all been covered up. As I looked at that, I discovered that his father appeared to be involved in covering this up. Keep in mind, his father was the chairman of the Republican Party at the time that he was skipping out on his military service in Vietnam. Nobody ever asked a father, what did you know about your son's activities? And so I began to say, what is the dynamic between the father and the son? And, you know, we'd all been told that the father and the son were very, very different. The son was a real Texan, you know, the chewing tobacco, wearing cowboy boots. You know, he was a different kind of a guy than the sort of stuffed shirt father. And what I discovered was that this rift, this purported rift between the father and son had been manufactured. That had been manufactured for the purposes of making the son electable because the father, as we know, was defeated in 1992. And they wanted the son to appear to be a different kind of a guy. In fact, what I discovered at looking at the son was that he'd been involved in a whole bunch of companies that have never before been reported on. Just one of them is called Lucky Chance Mining. These are very, very interesting companies. Somehow these have eluded all of the biographers, all of the reporters in the Washington Post, New York Times, and so on that did stories about George W. Bush. And these companies are very interesting, Alex, because they have all the hallmarks of being intelligence operations. None of the companies make any money. They all have funds coming in from offshore accounts, from Saudis, money connected to Ferdinand Marcos, to the South African apartheid regime, to the Shah of Iran. Very, very strange outfits. And so I thought, well, what is this guy doing? What is George W. Bush doing? He's in these very strange outfits. And this forced me then to start looking at his relationship with his father.
And then Herbert Walker Bush. So you start out an investigation of Bush, and it leads you back into the family history. I mean, where did this guy, suppose he'd never been in the CIA, the senior, and then suddenly he's director of the CIA, and then meanwhile they have ships named the Barbara, and there's...
the Zapata.
Yeah, exactly. Their oil company involved in CIA operations via pigs. Let's get into the roots of it because it's just amazing, especially the Nixon tie-in.
Right, right. So what I did was I began looking at the father. And when I looked at the father, I wondered why would they make him CIA director in 1976? This is a guy who's a purported intelligence virgin, a guy who doesn't have any background in intel. They supposedly put him in because they're claiming they're cleaning up the agency. Frank Church has his church committee, which is investigating all kinds of abuses, assassinations, etc., and they bring him in. Well, the answer is Poppy Bush is the nickname for the father. I called George, the younger one, W in the book, and Poppy, the father. That those are their nicknames, easier to distinguish between them. Poppy, actually, it turns out, had a background in the CIA, not just 1976. I've got documents in the book where he's in the CIA in 1963 at the time of the Kennedy assassination, and he's in the CIA in 1953 when he starts Zapata and Zapata Offshore, and he begins traveling all over the world on business. even though he's got this tiny company with almost no justification for it. He's even putting offices in places like Medellin, Colombia, which is nowhere near the coast. I mean, why would you have an offshore drilling company that has almost no rigs with an office in a place like that? So I'm digging into the father. I discovered that the father basically had an entire secret life, that the oil man thing was a cover. Being a congressman was essentially a cover. The man he started Zapata with, a guy named Thomas J. Devine Jr., was a career intelligence officer, and he quote-unquote retired from the agency at the tender age of about 26 after they'd spent millions on him to go into the oil business with Poppy Bush. So this is the beginning, and then in Family of Secrets, I track this through very curious things about Poppy Bush at the time of the Kennedy assassination. He, by the way, has publicly said he cannot remember where he was.
But there's a CIA document that has a George H.W. Bush in the CIA and in Texas at the time, but they say, oh, that's another Bush.
Well, it wasn't another Bush. It was him. And
we have photos of him outside the school book depository. I mean, it's him. You can look at the photo. It's him.
One of the interesting things is that there are several memos. There's one from the day after the assassination in which the FBI is giving a briefing to George Bush of the CIA. There's another document from the day of the assassination where George H.W. Bush, clearly him with his address listed in a FBI document, he is calling in to say, I may know who has killed the president. And he wants to inform on a fellow. He says, I don't know much about this man. What I discover and I document in one of the four chapters of new material on the Kennedy assassination in Family of Secrets is that the man he was ratting out, at the very moment he was ratting him out, Bush's own assistant was going to that man's house to give him an alibi. This is very, very complex stuff, very deep stuff, very profound stuff.
Well, they always, in intelligence ops, just do random crazy things to create a fog and all sorts of rabbit trails. I mean, that's how they do the most slick operations.
Well, I encourage people to read that chapter very carefully and try to figure out what they think is going on. I try not to be bombastic. I try not to force people to conclusions. I just lay out facts. There are more than 1,000 footnotes in this book.
What do you think about the guy that wrote Fortunate Son ending up dead in a hotel bathtub? I mean, you kind of worried about being, because they kill people.
You know, all I can tell you is I'm healthy, I'm happy, and
plus that was during the campaign. They were really worried about it at that time.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm certainly not accident.
But I told the D.C. madam that I said they're probably going to try to kill you, and then privately she told me, yeah, I'm getting followed and harassed. But she's on air. She said, oh, I'm fine, I'm not worried. And they killed her. I mean, they really do kill people, and they're not very nice folks. But you got a lot of courage writing this book, all this original research. And it's being so well documented. Let's go back to the beginning, though. That's really intriguing. Where does the Bush power come from? I mean, obviously, Skull and Bones is the opium-dealing cartel. They then make opium illegal so they can jack up prices. I mean, that's a separate issue that's on the record. But going back to Nixon and that whole story.
Sure. One of the things that intrigued me was basically George W. Bush. W. would never have been president of the United States if his father had not been president. There's no question on his own he would not have made it to the top. So what I wanted to know was had his father made it to the top? And the answer was Richard Nixon gave him all of these opportunities. He was only a freshman congressman when he got on the short list to be considered for vice president with Richard Nixon in 1968. 1970, he ran for U.S. Senate. He lost. And he was immediately appointed the ambassador to the United Nations at a very, very delicate moment in American relations with China and so forth. After that, he's made the chairman of the Republican Party at the height of Watergate, and then he sent off his envoy to China when things get too hot on Watergate. None of these things he was qualified for. He used to make jokes to friends about it. They said, why are you, what do you know about foreign relations to be at the UN? He said, ask me in 2 weeks. You know, he was going to bone up or something. Anyway, my question was, why did Richard Nixon favor Poppy Bush? And the answer, I had to dig all the way back. And Alex, what I discovered was that in the 1940s, when Richard Nixon first became a candidate for Congress from Whittier, California, that Prescott Bush, the grandfather, was actually in Whittier buying a defense contractor company. This is, I do not believe this has ever been reported before, was in.
And they needed their representative, their man.
Well, they needed their man, but there was something else going on. There was a congressman, a Democrat named Jerry Voorhees. And Jerry Voorhees is the guy that Nixon beat. Now, they say that they ran Nixon against him because Jerry Voorhees was too liberal on a bunch of issues, including labor unions and so on. But the reality is that wasn't what it was. Jerry Voorhees was the number one guy in the House of Representatives who was worried about Wall Street. And what he was worried about was this was, you know, not that long after the Great Depression. And he was afraid that if there was no regulation and oversight of both the bankers and the Wall Street people, that we could have another crisis like that. And they were very upset about Jerry Voorhees. And basically the financiers, the group that Prescott Bush was part of, wanted him out. Jerry Voorhees even suspected this. And I found something he wrote where he said that he had heard that somebody was in his district looking for someone to run against him. He just didn't know who it was. And it seems that it was Prescott Bush because he was there buying that company in the district right at that moment.
Happens every once in a while. Our connection to the network just broke, but we're back up on the backup. Okay, good. Please repeat what you just said.
Sure. Nixon basically they wanted him in there in order to beat Jerry Voorhees. Prescott Bush and his buddies were concerned about Jerry Voorhees' activities trying to regulate these powerful financial interests. Anyway, I think what happened was Richard Nixon was basically essentially sort of working for these interests throughout his career. They pushed Eisenhower to run for president. They pushed Eisenhower to put Nixon on the ticket. That's how he became vice president. Nixon then had the portfolio for covert operations, so he was deeply involved in all this stuff against Castro leading up to the Bay of Pigs. Then when Kennedy ran, of course, Nixon was out. They then stayed involved with him. And then when Nixon ran in 1968, they said, put Poppy Bush on the ticket with you. And Nixon didn't do it. And he angered Prescott Bush. I've got a letter in Family of Secrets where Prescott Bush says he made a mistake not putting my son on there. And what you see right from the beginning of the Nixon administration is efforts. And I document this in three chapters, all new information, efforts to remove Richard Nixon from office by these financial interests, oil interests, by these people in the intelligence community and in the military.
Stay there.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
The book is Family of Secrets. The author is Russ Baker. And I have to have him on the phone the next few weeks for more than an hour. A little bit of time we have today, 40 minutes, just isn't going to do it. Race through it, because, again, I've done so much research. You've done even more. And to be reading the book while we're on break, I just see so many amazing things, like the Bottlers Convention with Nixon in Dallas, when Kennedy's killed, just all the amazing photos and documents and letters that you've got in this book. Please continue with your discovery that they were setting up Nixon all along.
Sure. I mean, what intrigued me, and I have to say, by the way, that two of the major revelations in the book, one is about the Kennedy assassination and the involvement of the intelligence community in organizing it, and these curious coincidences in which George H.W. Bush keeps showing up in relation to that. By the way, one of those other coincidences is there was a family friend of George H.W. Bush by the name of George de Morenschild, and he was a white Russian emigre with intelligence ties. He also happened to be Lee Harvey Oswald's father figure. In the year before the assassination, this man practically organized all aspects of Lee Harvey Oswald's life. This is not mentioned very widely at all. You can find bits and pieces on him in a few other books and on the internet. But I have a whole chapter on George de Morenschild. His nephew was the roommate in prep school with Poppy Bush. And so this man was so close
Oh, there's E. Howard Hunt, who's now admitted to running the operation to kill Kennedy. Go ahead.
Sure. Anyway, so this Kennedy stuff, we don't have time here to go into all of it. There are four chapters on the Kennedy assassination with a number of figures associated with George H.W. Bush there. people who were in the lead car of the motorcade, involved with a very secret military intelligence unit in Dallas, headed by a man who was essentially Poppy Bush's running mate in 1963, and the man who got them to run for office that year, whose family was revealed to be a CIA-funded foundation. Anyway, it's very, very deep stuff. It goes on and on and on. I had always sort of not followed the Kennedy assassination. Most journalists like myself just know that it's just too much of a quagmire. So I said, all right, you know, maybe Oswald did it alone. Well, I have had to completely revise my thinking on that as a result of the research that went into Family of Secrets. Now, Nixon, you asked about Nixon. It's the same thing. I had always assumed that Nixon was just this sort of out-of-control president, the conventional story, that he was behind all of these things, including the Watergate burglary and certainly the cover-up. What I discovered in my research, and again, were the fingerprints of Poppy Bush, who was the Republican chairman at the time, at the height of the Watergate scandal, and yet he's not mentioned. You read those books on Watergate, Poppy Bush is never mentioned. He's not mentioned in books about him and books about Nixon. He's like the anti-Zelig. He just doesn't exist.
How did you get Bloomsbury Press? I mean, I know you're an award-winning journalist, but how did you get them to? This is an incendiary book, and that's a pretty good publisher.
It is a good publisher, and I admire them greatly for being willing to show some courage and put out a book like this. A lot of my friends in the mainstream media, they said, you will never get this published, you'll never get it out. What our challenge is right now, Alex, is that there's a bit of a wall of silence out there. The New York Times has not reviewed the book. Even though I have a lot of friends there and I've written for that paper, there was an attack on it by somebody in the LA Times, but generally silence. We have not been able to get onto most of the national
attacks
shows.
Attacks are better than silence.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But generally a silence, and there's no justification for that. This book has, as many of the reviewers, people like Roger Morris, who's been on the National Security Council, Gore Vidal, they have all praised the book. They all say, you know, I mean, it's a revelation per page, stuff that even people like Roger Morris, who wrote an acclaimed book on Nixon and an acclaimed book on the Clintons, he didn't know any of this stuff, you know. And with all that, really, we should be out there with a major explosive bestseller, but we cannot get the traction. So what we're doing is we are going out over the airwaves with people like you who have the guts to get the story out through the internet, through YouTube, whatever we can do. And we're really trying to have a kind of a guerrilla movement to get word out, because 99.9% of people don't even know.
I've read the reviews of the book. I was intending to get it and read it, and I'd actually a few weeks ago given something to my producer, a sheet on it, saying let's get this, but we forget things. And just scanning through it, it's just amazing book. And we've only got one more segment left coming up, but start getting into how they destroyed Nixon, because
sure. Well, basically what they did was in the book, I reveal a series of different operations that were precursors to the Watergate break-in. And the break-in, by the way, was deliberately so ham-handed. In other words, they were doing everything they could to get caught. And that's why they had these checks and everything that were traceable back to the Republican Party and to the White House. They were trying to set up Richard Nixon, but they were doing things before the Watergate break-in. And in Family of Secrets, I document those earlier unsuccessful operations to smear Nixon.
Just bizarre, but well documented, because a lot of other amazing researchers, not on this breadth or on this focus on the Bushes, have documented that separately, so I know it's true.
In the New World Order's war against humanity, Barack Obama is the tip of the spear.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
The Obama deception completely destroys the myth that Obama is working for the best interest of the American people.
Well, Obama's already fudging. Yeah, fudged since day one in this election.
If you have a demagogue with a fanatical mass movement of personality cultists who is imposing the program of a group of extreme bankers and finance oligarchs, that's fascism.
It's not about left or right. It's about a one-world government. This film documents who Obama works for, the lies he has told, and his real agenda. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at Infowars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. The Obama Deception. The people strike back.
was a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Family of Secrets, the Bush dynasty, the powerful forces that put in the White House and what their influence means for America. We're going to go back to that here in just a moment with our guest in studio. We're going to get to these mass graves they're building all over the country. We've had emergency managers on, journalists on, and the Pentagon admits they're doing it, and they do it by night. They go in and just put in all these big mass concrete graves outside large government cemeteries. They're getting ready for World War III or something? Who knows? We're going to be covering it. Photos are up on InfoWars.com. Also, I've been wanting to do this on air for one of our new sponsors, folks. I see that shot all the way across the room there. but it's not real. It's not real pepper spray. This is just an inert training canister. Where's the other one that shoots out all the... I know Burmese on air did this to Jim Mars, and I meant for him to use the one that shot out the vapor. This, oh, Burmese used the one that goes, the tester. But anyways, just pepperspray.com, great new sponsor, incredibly low prices. I thought this was the vapor one. I just shot inert goo all over the wall over there. Good thing I didn't aim it at him and shoot. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, we live in an unpredictable world, and everybody knows I'm all about preparedness. Remember, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. That's why I want you to visit our new sponsor, pepperspray.com, to check out their wide variety of personal security products they have available on their website since 1994. They have the lowest prices and the best products we've found anywhere. Give them a call at 1-800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988. And, you know, I gripe and complain about police tasering people for no reason. I'm not against the taser or the firearms themselves. So every time I mention this, people go, what do you mean you don't like tasers? No, I want my wife with a taser. You know, it's safer in case somebody got a hold of it. But it would protect her if somebody was trying to assault her in a parking lot, and crime is certainly up. They got great deals on tasers, stun guns, you name it, pepperspray.com. So be sure and check that out. Okay, going back to our guest with the book, Family of Secrets. I'm definitely, Russ, going to have you back on in the near future just over the phone from New York. I don't want to wait till you're back in Austin. This is just too important, just too much information that's got to be gotten out. Finish up with how they went after Nixon specifically, and I know that's only a small part of the book. It's just so interesting to me, and then cover some of the other things that are in the book that you bring up to current times.
Sure. What I see, a number of things. First of all, I studied the Nixon tapes, and what's very interesting is most of us have not studied the Nixon tapes, and we take the word of several so-called experts, I call them gatekeepers, who tell us that the tapes implicate Nixon. Well, the tapes don't implicate Nixon. If you look at the tapes carefully enough, you see that what they show is a guy who's completely befuddled. He has no idea what's going on. He doesn't know why in the world they did that burglary. He says, holy cow, it looks like somebody's trying to set me up. He does not know what's
going
on.
That's right. I've heard that, and absolutely. So.
And so what you see is you see a whole bunch of people. Again, we don't have time to go into here. It's all in the book, Family of Secrets. All of these people around Nixon who were infiltrated into the White House, who had intelligence ties. And that includes Alexander Butterfield, the man who revealed the existence of the tapes. That includes Jeb Magruder, who basically framed John Mitchell. That includes a whole bunch of these guys. Bob Woodward has a very interesting background.
Oh,
John
yeah.
Dean has a very interesting background. His brother-in-law and lawyer had CIA connections. This is very, very important. And as I say, I think I break new ground here in showing all of these people and their connections to Poppy Bush, who's sitting in the catbird seat of intelligence as the head of the Republican Party at that moment where Nixon is taken down.
And they needed to get Nixon out so the family could finally, at that point, when they decapitated him politically, it would be the Bushes left in total control of the party to then project themselves into office, and then he ran against Reagan initially, then they threatened Reagan, so he put George Herbert Walker Bush on the ticket. Clearly, you have the shooter meeting with the family a night before, all those intelligence connections, getting Reagan under their control. These are some nasty people.
Well, in fact, you see that they push Agnew out, and they bring in Gerald Ford, who had been on the Warren Commission and had always sort of played ball with these guys. And Gerald Ford then brings in a couple of guys you may have heard of called Cheney and Rumsfeld.
And then they launch the continuity of government government takeover plan, Rex 84, before it comes out in the 80s in the Iran-Contra, and it's all about we'll take over through national security, we'll do a CIA overthrow in the U.S. like we've done in the Third World, but in slow motion, and now today it's actually happening. And I have the L.A. Times. Every day I see multiple articles. Oh, the Marines are running checkpoints to stop drugs. Oh, the Army was out at the mass shooting. Oh, there's liaison officers in all the police departments. L.A. Times, Marines embedded at L.A. County Coroner's Office. Sorry, go ahead.
Sure. In any case, that whole segment, it fascinated me as I dug deeper and deeper. And then, of course, Ford comes in, as I say, and then they bring in Poppy Bush as the CIA director in 1976. I then discover a bunch of things that happened to Jimmy Carter, and I get into this in the book, and this appears to be yet another setup of a president they were not happy with. He was trying to essentially either reorganize or dismantle the CIA.
So they make a deal, just on record, because I know this is they make a deal to have the mullahs grab the hostages, they sell them weapons. I mean, it's Iran-Contra.
There's a lot of interesting stuff about the whole Iran connection. And by the way, right in this period, you see money moving, Iranian money, into companies that George W. Bush is involved with, the son. And so what I do is the first half or maybe sort of two-thirds of the book is mostly about the father, the grandfather, and this larger apparatus of these wealthy and powerful families that influence policy in this country that we really can't talk about, that control resource extraction in this country and around the world, which is the source of power in this world. You could say it's the entertainment business. You could say it's a Silicon Valley. It isn't. It's always going to be, until the lights go out, it's going to be the things that keep us warm, the things that allow our vehicles to move.
Raw material.
And that is what these families and these interests have controlled. In any case, the thrust of the book, and bring it up to today and why it's still relevant, is because these people aren't going away. I interview somebody in the book, a Republican official, and he says to me, let me tell you something. The intelligence community bring in their people into every White House. They make sure they have their people in surrounding every president. And they say, don't think that this thing is going away. So whatever you think of the new president, whatever you think of what he's trying to do, the reality is that he's limited in his movement. And he's constrained. He's got to please the generals. He's got to please the intelligence community. And he's got to please all of these interests. And so I think that the lessons in the book are very much relevant today. And I would encourage people to go to our website, if I may, which is familyofsecrets.com. Get some more information there. You can contact me. You can send me an email if you've got tips or information. I think we've got a mailing list. I hope people have a chance to read the book. It's a work in progress. We have a nonprofit website called whowhatwhy.com. We're trying to get this off the ground. We're looking for the public to support us so that we can put trained investigative journalists with serious credentials on these sorts of stories that the mainstream media will not touch.
Well, you are asking for it. You got a lot of courage. You're a man after my own heart. In the few minutes we've got left with you, I just want to invite you back in the next few weeks for 2 hours over the phone.
Be happy.
Because this is so important. And reading literally hundreds of books, interviewing thousands of guests, trying to find the truth, not left, darkly I look through, not a right wing darkly I look through, but really trying to find the truth. It's clear Obama is totally controlled by this very same apparatus. And as much of a nice guy as he might be, it's a bunch of rhetoric that he put out during the campaign. He's now basically doing the opposite and protecting the Bush family and protecting the president from the crimes, the lies about WMDs, the torture, the police state, all of it. Can you specifically, because you were just alluding to that, to who is in the Obama administration right now and the fact of however nice we might think Barack Obama is, and I certainly wish everything was okay, but it's not. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Basically, where do you stand on Barack Obama and who's in his administration now? Because it's the very same players from my research.
I want to say, first of all, that I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think it's I like to give every president the benefit of the doubt. I think what he faces is this. I think he's a man who, as he rose, he understood the art of compromise. I think he knew how to play ball with the right people. I think he's got a mixture of people in his administration. He's got a few people who I think are very good people. He's got other people in there who I don't think are so good. And I think there's a lot of jockeying going on. There's a lot of back and forth. And the question is, who's going to prevail on the Wall Street bailout, on the kinds kinds of people he chose to run the Treasury Department, kind of people at the Fed to keep Robert Gates in at the Pentagon. A lot of these things, I'm not sure they are encouraging. I am troubled by a lot of them. And I think that the best thing that I can do as a journalist is to hope for the best and be prepared for the worst and apply the same sort of scrutiny and vigilance that I have to the Bushes.
Well, Obama is not stupid. He's extremely intelligent. He knows that if he doesn't do what the military-industrial complex wants, that they're going to destroy him politically or murder him. And so the proof is in the pudding. You know, JFK tried to have this mixed cabinet and tried to work with these people, and look what happened to him. So,
well, it's the same thing with Nixon. And, you know, they said Nixon was paranoid where he kept replacing people. That wasn't what it was about. He was trying to do his own thing. He had those, you know, back channel secret negotiations trying to break down the Cold War effectively. The same thing, it turns out, Kennedy was trying to do. And a lot of interests do not want this to happen. I mean, this country has such a huge military industrial complex. It's so much larger percentage wise than any other developed country in the world. And the amounts being spent and the fortunes being made every day on this stuff, they cannot afford to have a president who presides over a global peace. And so it is a real challenge for a guy like Obama. He may be a great guy, he may be an intelligent guy, but the reality is that the president of the United States, no president of the United States, is able to do whatever he wants. He has got to be realistic about these things, and he's hemmed in to a large extent.
Well, you're absolutely right. In closing, I bought into the propaganda that Nixon was the quintessential devil until, you know, over a decade ago, I actually researched what happened to him. And he was obviously a flawed, power-hungry person. But compared to many other presidents, he was actually trying to be the president. And he tried to actually do a lot of good things. And it shows that the shadow government, the national security state, didn't like that. And so they wanted to make sure that the presidency was a kept position. And I just feel so sorry for the controlled left. It's almost like a religious sacrament bashing Nixon in the cartoons and movies and culture. And it's sad that they're just being completely conned and are missing the real power elite and the real evil.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that people of any ideological stripe are not open to facts, are not open to new information. And I mean, I think that the most compelling thing about Family of Secrets, I am told by people, is that I don't come in with an agenda. And I'm open to being persuaded that what I thought and what I understood, one of my friends, a journalist, when he looked at the book, he said, you know what you should call this book? You should call this book Everything You Know Is Wrong. And I was willing to accept the fact that the way that I understood the Kennedy assassination, the way I understood Watergate, the way I understood Jimmy Carter, Ford, George W. Bush, that all of these things were wrong. And I think what we've got to do is really open up a dialogue in this country where we're willing to just look at these facts. If somebody wants to come to me and point out that they're wrong, there are a few small errors in the book people have contacted me about. I said somebody went to Yale and he went to Harvard, but nobody has challenged the core, most important facts, the documents that are in there.
That's right. In my film, The Obama Deception, you know, we get busy and we say Richard Imhoff, head of the CFR, it's Richard Imhoff. But the main facts are accurate, and I've done the research and going through the book, scanning, and everything I see in here is spot on from deep research that I and many others have done. And so you just put it all together in one place instead of in 10 or 15 books, so people will get it. But in the final equation, and I cut you off earlier, and I want you to finish up with this. You're saying, hey, these people aren't going away. Specifics on that.
Well, first of all, I think it's kind of funny. We like to think that as we do live in a great country, but we're a little bit naive about thinking that it's perfect. And we like to think that in this country, democracy works. In every other country, you know, we talk about banana republics. All these other countries have oligarchies and forces that tend to dominate the political situation. But it's naive to think that doesn't happen in this country. The reason we think it doesn't happen is because you can't talk about it. In a weird way, the press self-censors itself, and so we can't have these conversations. It's just not okay to talk about
these things.
Because
we're America, and we're the good guys, and don't you say we've got a corrupt oligarchy or a shadow government or an elite. Now they're openly out in the open, setting up a classic tyranny. They've always had the velvet glove on. and kind of allowed the common masses to have basic freedoms. But now they are eroding and getting rid of that. I think because of the internet culture, they know that they've lost their illusion that, you know, America's perfect and, you know, only good guys are running it. And so I think we see a massive struggle now coming to a head. And I'm very optimistic that thanks to books like Family of Secrets and films and things that are out there, that we are starting to turn the corner. I think that's why we see this thrashing by the establishment threatening everybody in an attempt to create a chilling effect. I mean, we got in the Private Federal Reserve rallies all over the country, and we got the Army document and called the Army, and they confirmed it. And they had the Army anti-terrorism squad watching us at all 38 locations, including Ron Paul in Houston. And I mean, that is Third World. That is Nazi Germany. That is Russia. And that's happened to peace groups for a long time, but now it's much wider. And there's the secret police all over the place. We can't let that chill us. We've got to have the courage.
I agree, and I think that it is. There are some exciting opportunities. The internet, all of these things, podcasts and so on. The fact that I can come on here and talk about Family of Secrets. I think all of these things. I think the equation is shifting, and I think people that have traditionally held control, certainly the Bushes, and I go into this to some extent in the book that the Bushes go way back. The great grandfather was working for two different branches of the Rockefeller family at the turn of the 19th century. I mean, it's mind-blowing stuff. This continuity of influence and power is absolutely there. We need to talk about these kinds of things. We need to assert ourselves. If we live in a true democracy, we have to be able to do something about that and have a vigorous debate, get the facts out there. Getting the facts out there, that's the first thing.
Well, we're going to have you back on in a few weeks, if you'll do it, and go through the book in more detail. But folks should get it. Russ Baker, Family of Secrets, just an amazing treatise. And I can't wait to read the whole thing because just everything I scan is just amazing information. The way it puts it all together in a historical perspective and brings us up to current times. Fire out both the websites again for folks.
Yeah, I have familyofsecrets.com, information about the book or to contact us. And then our nonprofit investigative reporting site, whowhatwhy.com. whowhatwhy.com. We are hoping that the public will support us. What we eventually want to do is get some thousands of people to support us with a small donation each month so we get a crack team of investigative reporters there. We are willing to look at any story, folks. Anything out there, we are willing to investigate using classical journalistic techniques.
That's
documenting
exciting.
Everything.
Yeah, this is the rise of the true alternative media. And the establishment is moving to try to regulate the web. In fact, it's being reported. YouTube is saying that China has completely blocked YouTube for 2 days. And then they have a huge list of countries that have banned most Western-based sites. And similar things with Internet, too, are now coming in here to end net neutrality and other things. As the New York Times said, gatekeepers in a kindler, gentler, controlled Internet for our own good. All right. Well, again, the book is Family of Secrets. Russ Baker, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks, Al.
You bet.